The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Semen Resh Yud Beis, Dvarim HaAsurim Mishum Simcha Gam L'Achar Shiva. This semen addresses things that are prohibited for a mourner to do after the 7 days of Shiva, until 30 days for most relatives, and for the year for a parent. Now, the main prohibition that we're going to talk about is the prohibition of Simcha, which is joy, which really means attending certain joyous events, which the idea is that if this person's in mourning, then he shouldn't necessarily be there. We'll discuss specific circumstances, whether it's a close relative, whether it's a child, something where the child wants the parent to be there, or whether the parent, for them, it's going to be a great loss if they're not there. We'll also discuss what level of participation. For example, could he just go for the chuppah and not be there for the eating, or for the dancing, or eat outside, do different things that to minimize the level of participation. Sif Aleph. Asur lechel besudas bris mila. One is prohibited to eat at a bris, opinion of ben, v'siyam sechta, or a opinion of ben, redemption of the firstborn, v'siyam sechta, or one who makes a siyam. V'chol shekein besudas nesuim, and definitely at a wedding, kol shloishim al shar kroivim. The whole 30-day period of mourning for other relatives other than a parent, v'chol shneim asur chaydish al aviv al imay. And the entire 12-month period for a parent. Now, if you read carefully, the kiddush says you're not allowed to eat there. So the paiskim say one could go for the ceremony. So, for example, if one wants to give mazel to that at a bris, they could go for the bris part of it, but not for the suda, but not for the meal. Well, that's for a wedding. We'll talk about you could go for the chuppah, but not for the actual meal. It also seems from here that the prohibition is mainly to sit there and eat. Whereas if one just wants to come in for a minute and say mazel tov, that might also be permitted. Now, in the parentheses, the Kitzer addresses the question of a leap year. V'afilu b'shona mubaris, even in a leap year, so there's really 13 months, sagi b'shnei masur chaydish, but when it comes to the rules of mourning, it's more lenient, and therefore he only has to observe it for 12 months. U'b'soich b'esai, so now what if it's in the person's own house, so therefore he's not leaving his house, so mutter lo lechel, he's allowed to eat. Now, this is a very common scenario, which would be, let's say, a person is in mourning, and they're going to make a Shavah Brachas, right, for a relative. So, if for them to attend the Shavah Brachas and to eat, there would be a problem. But for them to make a Shavah Brachas in their own house would seemingly be permitted, because it's in their own house. Now the Kitzer continues, Ach Basudas Nesuin, but if they're making a wedding in their own house, here Shlahachmer Filip Asaych Beis, so that already is an abundance of joy, of Simcha, and therefore one should be stringent even in their own house. Imlai Kishu Mesi Yasama Yisaima, unless the person is marrying off a orphan young man or young woman, Shimlayochal Sham Yisbat Lamais. If he's needed to eat there because he's the driving force behind it, then it's mutter, because it's a need for a mitzvah. Then it's permitted, even if it's not in his house, and even to wear Shabbos clothing after 30 days, even during the year of a parent, and for other relatives, even within 30 days. Now, this would be also perhaps a close relative or someone who his presence would be very much missed at the wedding, and he's needed to be there, so therefore he could possibly attend and even eat, because again, he's creating that simcha. This is sometimes a scenario where unfortunately someone passes away, and now one of their children is getting married, and a person, say an uncle or someone who's very involved with the family, the question is, could he attend the wedding? Because he's still in mourning for the sibling or for the parent. And basically, if the presence is needed very much to make the simcha happen and possible, then from this halacha it would seem that they would be allowed to attend. The Kitzer continues in Sif Beis. Einu Rishu Lahazman L'Acherim. one's not permitted to invite others, or to be invited out to them, one should not send presents, one should not send him, the same is true with the whole 12-month period of a parent. And on Shabbos, it has to do with custom, meaning to say on Shabbos, we know a lot of the rules of mourning are relaxed, so therefore, if a person is going to do that, and it's going to be noticeable that he's keeping the laws of mourning on Shabbos, then it might be permitted, and the Kitzur says it depends on different customs. This question comes up as far as giving Shlach Manas, as far as giving the gifts to each other we give on Purim, that the custom is not to give an Avil, not to give a mourner Shlach Manas, because again, since they're in mourning, they're not supposed to be accepting a gift. Avil Shu Sandik Siv Gimel. Avil Shu Sandik Aymayil Lachar Shleishim. Mourner who is serving as a Sandik, one who holds the infant during the bris, Aymayil, or the one who actually performs the bris, Lachar Shleishim, after 30 days. Afil Avil Al Imay, even for during the year of a parent, Hilbay Shpigde Shabbos, he could wear Shabbos clothing, Ad Lachar Mila, during the Mila. V'yochol lechol gam b'suda, and he's allowed to eat the suda. Now, I just want to point out over here that, generally speaking, the laws of mourning for a parent during the year are the same as the laws of mourning for a relative during the 30 days. And as it would seem that anything that a regular mourner is not allowed to do during the 30-day period, a person cannot do for mourning for a parent during the whole year. However, we do see certain leniencies, and we see this in this halacha, that it says that a person who is, that after 30 days, a person is allowed to be a sandik or a mile, even though they're mourning for a parent. So within 30 days, even for a parent, it is considered to be a stronger form of mourning than after 30 days, even though a lot of the same halachas, the same laws, do apply. Siv Dalet. Asur likanes lebeis nesuin kol shloishim al shakrayvim. It's prohibited to go to a wedding the entire 30 days on other relatives, Rishnei Masr Chaydish, Alav Av Imai, and for the whole 12-month period for a parent. Afilu l'shmeyas ha-bracha shemefarchim sham. Even to hear the brachas, the blessings that they make there. So a person just wants to go to the chuppah, according to the Kitzur, he should not go. Aval b'chuppah sh'aysim b'chatzar beis ha-knesses. But if it's done in the shul, it was a very prevalent custom in Europe that the chuppah was done outside in the shul, or today, let's say, it's done outside, and they make the brachas, one could stand there and to hear the blessings after 30 days on a parent. So again, since it's after 30 days for a parent, it will be permitted. Also, they could call him up for a bracha. So this is again a common scenario that, let's say, a relative or a yeshiva, someone who's supposed to be at the wedding, so they can't come to the actual meal, but they want them to come and give a bracha. And the answer is, at least according to what the Kitzur is saying, is that if the chuppah is taking place outside the actual hall where the simcha is happening, then it'll be permitted to accept a bracha. The Nitta Gavriel discusses, what about attending, you know, the chassan's tish, as it's known, you know, where the chassan, the groom, sits with before the chasna, as they prepare the ksuba. So he says that if there's no music there, and it's not near, it's usually kallah side, that's where the music is, so over there, so it's very lively, over there one should not go, whereas to go to where the chasna's sitting, the chasna's tish, that would be permitted, as long as it's not so close to where the kallah is. That's what the Nitta Gavriel paskins. The Kitzur continues, one could also be a person who escorts the chassan to bring him onto the chuppah, and one could wear Shabbos clothing for this, as long as it's after 30 days. So the bottom line is that since the chuppah, there's not a lot of festivities, it's more somber, it's more serious, even though there is some music, but it's for the most part somber. So therefore, one would be allowed to escort the chassan. lechel alasuda, but one should not eat there. V'yesh makilim gam lechel alasuda, and there are those that permit eating the meal there as well. Sifei mutro la'avel olechas ala mishtel l'shamish. A mourner could go to the place of a party l'shamish to help. V'yechel b'beisei mashe sholchem lei min asuda, and he could eat in his house what they send him from the suda. Now, it's not clear exactly what this halacha is referring to. According to some paiskim, what this means is not that the aval can actually sit and eat with everybody else as long as he helps, but it means to say he would have to eat in a different room. And perhaps the helping that we're talking is not just serving food like the person who's hosting the party would do, but it's actually serving in the kitchen. Now, the Nizek Avriel brings in a situation where there are pressing reasons that a person should attend the wedding. For example, you know, the person, the groom or the bride is going to have pain, going to have tsar, that they're not attending. So he stipulates that if they fulfill three stipulations, then according to the Nitzak Avriel, one will be permitted to go. So he says, firstly, shelo yochel basuda, that they should not eat there. As we mentioned, they should eat in a different room. Sheyasa eza shimush basuda, that they should do some serving, that it should be nicker, that it should be noticeable to their mourning. So the point is that they should be doing some helping to show that they're in mourning. And the third is that they shouldn't participate in actual dancing. Now, as far as a parent, let's say, if the child gets married and they're during the year, as far as them participating in the dancing, so there are two reasons, there are two discussions about this. One reason could be to say that it's permitted is because the child is going to be saddened, the bride or the groom is going to be saddened if their parents not participating, so therefore they would have a leniency because of that. The other reason would be is because for the parent themselves, not participating in the wedding is like a great loss, and just like many places in halacha, if a person can have a great loss, it could be considered more lenient. So, for example, Ramesha Feinstein Zatzal would say that the father of the groom could dance a little bit, even if it's during the 30 days, he could dance a little bit, at least that the photographer should be able to take a picture, because if there be no pictures of the father dancing with his son at the wedding, that's going to be something that's going to be a long-term loss for them. So the point is that something that's very important, that's be like a loss, that people would pay a lot of money to experience, people come pay a lot of money to travel to a relative's wedding, that sort of thing. So that would be permitted, say, for a parent. So that would be one reason. The other reason, as I mentioned before, is if it would cause the bride or the groom pain that they're not participating, that would also be a reason that they were allowed to be involved. Now, a lot of these definitions and these halachas, when it comes to participating in joyous occasions, there are different opinions among rabbanim, among rabbis, what to do l'maisa, and this is just more of an overview, and that's why you will see people do different things, but when a person would have such a question, they should consult their rabbi. Now, one of the things that's included in this idea of simcha would be listening to music, and that's why the widespread practice is that during the year, a mourner for a parent is not listening to music. Now, if it's, say, background music, let's say they're watching a program, or they're in an office, and there's just soft background music playing, so then many paiskim say that would be permitted. There is a discussion about recorded music as opposed to live music. Live music is definitely a problem. Recorded music, there is a discussion about. The prevalent custom is to avoid listening to recorded music, especially if it's very lively and it causes simcha, causes joy. We're going to continue now in Siman Reish Yud Gimel. Sha'avol also lisa isha, a mourner is prohibited from getting married. V'din ha'chasa nekala shenasa aveilim, and also the halacha pertaining to a bride or groom, that they became a mourner just as the wedding was approaching. Sif Aleph. Kol shloishim, all 30 days of mourning, also lisha isha, the mourner is not allowed to get married. So that means a man is not allowed who is in mourning cannot marry. V'chein isha shehi avela, also a woman who is in mourning, asur shatinase, she cannot get married ad la'achar shloishim, until after 30 days. La'achar shloishim, and after 30 days mutaren, then they are permitted. Afilu al aviv the aim even for a parent, so the mourning is a year, but nonetheless, after 30 days, they're permitted. But to become get engaged, even in those days where it was actually a kedushin, actually they would give a ring, it would be binding, but as long as there's no suda, there's no party, then that would be permitted as well. Even within the 7 days of mourning, it would be permitted. So this is all the halacha pertaining to a person getting married for the first time during mourning, and basically after 30 days, then it's permitted. Now, Mesa Ishta, what happens if a person's wife passes away? So Chazal said that he's not allowed to marry until three regalim pass, the three major holidays. The reason is because that affection and the closeness he had to his first wife, that takes a while for it to go away, and therefore, they don't want him to marry right away. So lo yisa acheres ad lachar shloish regalim, he should not remarry until three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, have passed. Kadesha al yidei simchas regalim, because through the joy of the holidays, tishtaka chamenu avas rishayna, it'll become forgotten from him, his affection of his wife, b'sha shiyeh imashniyah, so therefore, when he gets married to his new wife. And this is a sensitivity that we find very much in Chazal, that they didn't want those two relationships to overlap. There's even a custom that a husband who is remarried doesn't visit his first wife's grave, and the reason is because, again, out of respect to his new wife, that she should feel wanted, and therefore, if he's going to be visiting the first wife's grave, and therefore, it's going to be taken away from that relationship. So in the same way, Chazal didn't want him to marry for this time in order that he should sort of move forward from the first relationship before he starts a new relationship. Now, the Kitzur continues, Shalai Yishta v'kaisev yitin daital yishayna, because he shouldn't be involved with his new wife and still be thinking about the first wife. Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim, now Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not considered a regal as far as it's concerned. Einim chashuvim regal in zeh. So therefore, you need a full Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. The Gam Shmini Atzeres, we don't say that the final day of Sukkot, which is really technically its own Yontif, is considered its own Yontif as far as it's concerned. And then Achshav L'Regel B'Shnei Atzmal Inzeh is not considered its own Regel for this is concerned. And the reason would seem to be because, again, we need three distinct times of joy in order for him to move forward from his previous relationship. Now, the imadayin lekim mitzvah per rivia. What happens if he doesn't have children yet? If he didn't fulfill his mitzvah, so then waiting a whole year is not going to be such a good idea. Or he should usually banim ketanim, or if he has small children, so he needs to get remarried in order that the new wife will be able to help him with the children. Or he ain lemishi yamshano, or he doesn't have anyone to help him because he's sickly. And etzarak lahamtim shalish regalim. Then this idea of waiting three holidays, that one could be lenient on that. But it still seems, says the Kitzur, but one should definitely wait till after 30 days. And a woman who her husband passed away, so she does not have to wait these three regalim, these three holidays, but she has to wait 90 days. This is for an entirely different reason. The reason is maybe she's pregnant from the first husband, and therefore if she remarries too soon, we're not going to know exactly who this child is from if she becomes pregnant. Sif Gimel. Misha Heichin Tzarchei Chupasa. Now we're discussing here what happens if a person is going to soon get married, and then unfortunately a relative passes away. So Misha Heichin Tzarchei Chupasa. One who they were busy making the preparations for their chuppah, for the marriage, who makes echem and akrivim, and one of the relatives, shel chasan, of the groom, or shel akala, or of the bride, passes away. But feel of yachasan, of akala, or even the parent of them, so we're talking about a very serious form of mourning. Bizman azeh, he says, in today's day, shechalim gamachem, lachin tzarchin asuin, that today, that others could help prepare the wedding, Dochin es anasun lachar yimei avel, we push off the marriage until after the days of mourning. Now, really what's going on over here is like this. If you look in the Gemara has a big discussion about this idea, that if they're in the middle of preparing for the wedding, and then the parent dies, that it says that really we could have the wedding first, before the burial, and then and then the shift is observed, and then afterwards the shahar brachas. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the reason for that is because we're afraid that if the parent passes away and there's no one to really take care of the wedding, then it's not going to really happen. So therefore, Chazal wanted that we shouldn't postpone the wedding. We should take care of the wedding first, and then we'll deal with the shiva, and then shiva brachas after that. Now the kitzur is coming off of that and is saying that today, when it's easily to be prepared a wedding, times have changed. So therefore, he said you don't have the reason to do the wedding right away. And therefore, if it's just you're still making the preparations, and other people can help with the preparations, so therefore they should observe the shiva first before they get married. Now the kitzur continues with this discussion in the next sif dalet. Va'afilu meisu la'achar shehamidu es hachopa. Even if they already set up the marriage canopy and they already got married, so also le'livol al'achar shivas yimei ha'evil, then they're not allowed to consummate the marriage until after the 7 days of mourning, because we know relations are prohibited during the avelus, are prohibited during the mourning. V'kivin shadayin le'boel v'asul le'livol. Now, because of this, because they did not consummate the marriage, and there's a prohibition of relations, so asur l'siyachay b'li shaymer, then there is a new problem, that they can't be secluded without someone, without a minor or someone else being around to make sure that they don't do something they're not supposed to do. Now the reason for this, we discussed this previously in the laws of Nida, which is generally a woman who is, say, a Nida, who is in menstruation and is prohibited to her husband for that time period, or say a woman in mourning, we're not concerned about the husband and wife being secluded, because since they've been married from before, and they've had relations, and she's going to be permitted afterwards, so therefore we're not so concerned that the evil inclination that is going to take a hold of them. Whereas a new bride and groom that have never consummated the marriage yet, we're more concerned. So therefore, they're not supposed to be secluded together, because they're in a time, because they have not consummated the marriage, and they're in a time where relations are prohibited. Now the kitzur continues, l'achar shivas yimei evil, after the 7 days of mourning, bel bilas mitzvah, so then they consummate the marriage, v'noyik shivas yimei mishta, and then they observe the 7 days of mourning. Now a very common question that comes up is, if the wedding is supposed to be in a few days, and the parent of the bride or the groom becomes an avil, say the grandparent passes away, so then the burial takes place right away. But the question is, now the parent is during the shiva, so really they're not supposed to attend any weddings. But as I mentioned before, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that since them not attending the wedding is going to be a tremendous loss for them, so he permits them to attend the wedding under certain conditions, that is. Sif Hei. Avel, a mourner. The Kitzur discusses a scenario where during the mourning, during the time of, after they just got married, during the Shavuot Brachos, one of them becomes a mourner. Avel, im la'achar she'baal meis krayvay shalachasin or shalakala. In other words, however, the bride and the groom, if after they consummated the marriage, one of the relatives of the groom and the bride passed away, kvar cholu aleihem yimei mishta. So then already the marriage was already consummated. So therefore, the idea of the 7 days of joy of celebration that already began, because the marriage was complete. V'heim alehem k'may regel. So then they're like during a yontif. What's the halacha of a mourner who a person becomes an avel mourner during a yontif? Halacha is that the yontif, that the holiday takes precedence. Shein avel is neheges b'hem, that mourning does not apply to during a yontif. So therefore they're in their own holiday. So therefore they do not have the laws of mourning. V'oid kal miyaser. Not only that, she would turn begius with aspires, they could even shave and clean themselves. The ain't a surim elbadvarm shabbatina, they're only prohibited in relations, but other than that, they could celebrate the Shabbat brachas fully. And just like as in during Yantif, right? Let's say a person's relative passed away during the holiday, so a person doesn't observe the Shiva and observes it after the holiday is complete. So since they're doing that week, which is like a week of joy and of a holiday, so afterwards, Osmos Chilin Shiva Simei Avelos, then the 7 days of mourning begin. V'gam Shloishim and Amayna Elmi Imei Avelos V'Eilech, and according to the Kitzer, the 3 day period, you only start from the day of the Avelos, because since they weren't really observing the Avelos, so it only starts from the end of the Shavuot Brachos. The Afagav the regal Olim in Shloishim Shiva Simei Mishna in Olim. So basically, the Kitzur explains the reason for this. He says, since there is no outward showing of mourning, because they're even allowed to take haircuts, so therefore, it's not like they really did anything to show mourning, so therefore, the 30 days needs to start from after the culmination of the Shavuot Brachos. Simon Reish Yudalad, Masai Ha'aval Yochalotzis Mitlubmei Beisai, when is the mourner allowed to leave his house? So the Kitzur explains in Sif Aleph, Kol Shiva all 7 days, and Yetimi Beisai, he does not leave the house. Achimeis Lemeis, however, if a different relative passes away, Hayafil Eitzel Acher, Ela She'en Shom Kedei Amita V'Kayv Reha, or say someone else's relative passes away, and this mourner is needed to help the burial, then he would be allowed to leave the house. And as for another funeral, he could leave the house. If the government official called him, something very important, they have a great loss, he would be allowed to have eaten offer, and he needs to wear shoes, so he should put some dirt in his shoes to show the mourning, and he would be permitted to leave in these extenuating circumstances. Sif Beis. A mourner does not go to shul during the 7 days, and that is why the prevalent custom is to make a minyan in the house of the mourner. Rak b'Shabbos, only on Shabbos, when there is no outward mourning. Ach im i'ashul le'asif asara, what if it's not possible to get a minyan? Ye'murchach l'spal b'yichidus, and you have to daven by himself. U'b'shchunasa yesh minyan, and there is a minyan in the neighborhood that he could go to. Yachalotis l'lechaz l'spal sham. A mourner would be allowed to leave the house to daven shleilus batal mitzilat betzibur in order not to miss davening with a minyan. Gimel, im ha'avil tzarech lamal as benai, if a mourner needs to circumcise his son and it's done in the shul, so ha'ilich lebeis haknesses, he goes to shul afil teich shleish yamim, even within the first 3 days, because again this is his mitzvah and he's allowed to go. Im ha'avil husandik amel, if the mourner himself is holding the infant at the time of the bris or actually performing the circumcision, loyetzi tach shloisha, then he should not leave the house and during the first 3 days, because that's considered a lot of joy. Ulaachar shloisha, and after 3 days, he's bal b'vesa, the actual davening he should preferably do at home, k'shemavim esatinuk lomol, and then only for the bris he should go ha'lech lebeis hakneses. But if there's no other mile possible, then he could go on the day. So again, the basic idea over here is that an Ovel is not supposed to leave his house for a certain extenuating circumstances, like the daven with a minyan, or for a bris milah of his own child, or a very big loss, then he would be allowed to leave.